This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Matt Langan. Matt is the founder and CEO of L&R Communications in Washington, D.C. and Vermont, Matt?
That is correct, Mark. Yeah.
Both. Two offices. Damn. I only have one. unless you count Federal News Radio. I don't think they'd let me do that. So anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you letting me be on the show.
It's going to be fun, going to be worthwhile, and people are going to learn, hopefully, a fair amount of stuff here. Give us a little background, though, on L&R and you, please.
Sure, that sounds good. You know, L&R Communications, we've been around now for a little over 5 years. You know, our roots are in the PR agency world, specifically in technology. You know, we cut our teeth in New York City in the mid to late 90s during the dot-com bubble, and then came to D.C. in the early 2000s and, you know, kind of became a part of the PR machine behind a lot of defense contractors during that kind of massive growth area. And then, you know, around 2008 or so, you know, jumped out on my own with a partner, and then we slowly moved away from the, you know, traditional PR, you know, writing press releases and pitching stories to the press to, you know, a strictly content marketing model where we, you know, host blogs for clients. A lot of them are branded separately from clients. And then, as you know, Mark, you know, promotion of the content through various social channels, LinkedIn and others. And it's been a great run. We focus, you know, specifically on, you know, government technologies, defense. We have quite a few geospatial intelligence and intelligence related clients as well. So I think we've done a pretty good job of owning these little niches within the government IT niche itself.
Okay, cool. So we met largely by, you know, rumor and innuendo, because we share she's your client now, she's been my client on and off for years, Lisa DiZutti over at Market Connections, who, by the way, was on the show recently. But you do a lot of interesting things there with her. What's your role with Market Connections, if you can talk about it, or companies like Market Connections?
Sure. No, we can definitely talk about Market Connections, and they're a great example of kind of the perfect client, if you will. You know, they're a company that, you know, they're a research organization. You know, they have their own branded research that they do, like their government contractor study, but they also do a lot of research for government contractors and agencies as well. So they have a solid reputation in the marketplace, and they are thought leaders, and they bring true value. So having a client like that is perfect, because we have a lot of subject matter experts internally. Lisa certainly is. And we also have a client in Monica Parham, who you know very well, who's very kind of the driver behind this with us. So what we do for them is we run their FedConnects blog, which is kind of a daily news site where we feature stories about, you know, sequestration, you know, tips for contractors to be winning contractors. We do Q&As with a number of contractors in the region. And, you know, we've been doing this now for about a year, and it's really taken off really well. And it's not just being done for the sake of having content to throw out there. It's really kind of a third-party site. It is branded, powered by Market Connections. And, you know, there's full transparency when I contact people to do interviews with them. But the strategy behind it is really focused more on, you know, lead generation for Market Connections. So a lot of times we'll interview prospects with them, or we'll do Q&A interviews with happy clients to showcase to the world these K case studies about customer satisfaction surveys that Market Connections has implemented for clients. And it's been wonderful. You know, we have a pretty aggressive publishing schedule where we start off Monday with a news kind of roundup kickoff, and we usually have one Q&A during the week, one thought leadership piece, a research-oriented piece, and then something usually about trends like sequestration. And you know, it's been a good run, and like I said, they are the perfect client because they're highly engaged. I'm very much connected with their sales team, so I have an understanding of who their prospects are, meaning who I should be interviewing. And they're just all around wonderful people, as you know, Mark, from working with them throughout the years.
Yeah, and it's one of the few clients that I didn't mind actually driving from Howard County to, from my perspective, far out into the Virginia countryside to, it's not that far, it's Chantilly, but for me, that's far. But, it, you know, going out there because I knew I'd have a great time once I was there. You know, fortunately, I have another couple of clients like that. I do some work with a company called LMI, Logistics Management Institute, on the thought leadership side of things. And this is the cool thing for people like you and me. They get content. Not only do they get it, they have it. They have tons of content. They just don't necessarily know all the places they can share that. So let's talk a little about content in the last couple of minutes of this segment. Do you have a definition?
That's a great question. You know, it's almost hard to define, but it can be many things. You know, it could be a very, very compelling blog post that is, ghostwritten, you know, for somebody, say, at Market Connections for one of their researchers. It could be a podcast. A lot of what we do, too, is when clients host events, we'll be there on site to do headshot video interviews that we'll quickly edit and put up. So it can be pretty much anything, but it has to be, for true content, it has to be original. You have to, you know, provide some pretty interesting insights that's different than what is out there. And that's part of the challenge is because a lot of times the content you create will be kind of a retread or some insights on a story that was in FCW. So, you know, the challenge is on us as content marketers to come up with creative ideas or creative approaches to develop content that actually resonates.
Well, it also helps that you're working, especially with Market Connections, with an educated staff. So they are so wed to this market that they understand it quite well, and if you study something long enough, you're bound to develop a point of view.
Yep.
And from my perspective, the point of view is what I don't care if everybody's talking about the same story. If you have a well-developed point of view with adequate industry background, then you can hold my interest.
Yep. So that's exactly how it is. With Market Connections, which is the prime example of that. So, it's all about original content, Mark.
Yep, and technically that's what we're doing here because we're kind of winging an interview. We did map out some generic questions, but I never stay directly on the path. So, what kind of content does L&R generate on its own behalf? Do you?
Or you know, it's funny. I often use the cobbler's children have no shoes analogy when it comes to us. We spend so much time and energy in creating content for other clients, we often forget about our own content. So I recently was asked to be a blogger for GIS Cafe, which is a geospatial kind of intelligence GIS news site.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Oh, good. Yeah, you're familiar with that. So I do, a weekly blog there. In many ways, practicing what I'm preaching, I like to showcase companies that I personally, wink, wink, would like to work for, but also they have newsworthy stuff going on.
Sure.
And, we recently launched a website, but we had like a really kind of low-end Yahoo website for a number of years because most of our clients came through referral or word of mouth. And ironically enough, we are starting to do our own social content marketing.
Well, it's good. I mean, I've been writing forever You know, my degrees are in English, and you went to a school that's fairly well known for its writing programs, Washington College. I don't know if that's what you studied there, but they have a great background in that area. But I've been generating content in the form of newsletters in the throughout the 90s and into the 2000s, originally a hard copy and then an e-newsletter. And that, you know, for a one-man shop, that's hard to crank out on a regular basis. So I switched over to a blog about 5 or 6 years ago, and I also do a lot of posting on LinkedIn, as do you.
Yep.
So, anyway, let's take our first break here. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is Matt Langan. Matt is the founder, CEO of L&R Communications. Matt, what's the web address for your firm, please?
It's www.landrcomm.com. So it looks like Landercom.
L and R com, two M's.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yep. Not the best URL, but it's the best we get, and I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier about the cobbler's children not having any shoes. You know, we're focused so much on securing URLs for clients' branded blogs that we kind of forget about our own URLs.
Yeah, let me ask a slightly different question. One of the questions I've been getting lately, especially from smaller companies, is do we need a website or is a blog enough?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I personally believe that a blog is enough, especially for a smaller company, because you're continually generating fresh content on it if you're doing it right, which is going to help with SEO. And it's going to help brand you in the marketplace as a thought leader, as opposed to having a website that's technically like brochureware, if you will.
Yeah.
And many people just go to websites, too, to look at basic product information, contact information, whatever it may be. You can still have that built into the blog, but make the blog the foundation of it, which I think is a pretty smart way to go.
Yeah. I mean, I update my blog as you may know fairly regularly. I update my website. I don't know. that's it. But just an example of me going off topic. We're going to be talking a lot about content here. So I would like to get your opinion on what is the real value factor, and you just implied it, of developing your own content.
Yeah, well, I think there's two things that happen here. And again, it's the moving away from the traditional PR model where you hired a PR firm or a consultant to come on board, write a few press releases, you know, maybe have a goal of getting 1 to 2 articles, you know, in like the federal trades, if you will. But a lot of times it doesn't happen all the time. Certain companies, especially small ones, don't necessarily have news. So you're set up with this relationship where the client is saying, okay, I'm paying you X amount each month, but last month we got nothing because there's nothing happening in the news cycle. And it creates kind of a tense relationship and anxiety all around because the marketing person who hired the firm is kind of on the hook for making this investment. And then, of course, the PR firm is the one kind of holding the cards. So, you know, coming back to where we are now, this new content marketing approach, you know, allows you to every day get new content out there that's fresh, that's promoted through LinkedIn channels. You know, for example, you know, FedConnect's blog content for Market Connections. We do a post Monday through Thursday, and Friday we rest. But each day we have the Market Connections team, and in many ways, thanks to your awesome training that you gave them, promote the blog posts in their various LinkedIn groups. We promote it in our LinkedIn groups. So every day we have content that's going in probably 30 LinkedIn groups that are government or defense related. So every day there's content that's out there spreading like a spider web through the LinkedIn sphere. And then, of course, we do Twitter. We don't really have a Facebook page that we promote stuff too much on, but we found that LinkedIn is the driving source. And then at the end of the day, I'm like addicted to Google Analytics. I'm checking it all day long and do my weekly reports for my good friend Monica, and we can see that LinkedIn is the number one source of traffic for us. So we know that these are government and defense people, either contractors or agency people, coming to the blog through LinkedIn through this effort. And if you do that every day, you're reaching, your brand awareness reach is so much bigger than occasionally getting an article in Federal Computer Week.
It is. I mean, and if you had an article in Federal Computer Week, you know, I write a monthly column for WashTech. I immediately post that in LinkedIn, and I immediately get a spike. I mean, we used to see the spike because WashTech used to have the, you know, most read stories of the week and the most emailed stories of the week. And I'd always be on that list, usually close to the top, if not at the top. But I was driving a lot of traffic. That that feature's unfortunately gone. So if I want my WashTech stats, I have to tell Nick in advance that I want them, and he has to tell his web guy. And, you know, it's kind of a pain in the butt. You know, because I can't go to Alexa and see, oh, WashTech had a spike. It must have been me. But the stats side is key because the FedConnex blog is. It was much older than I thought. I thought it was only a couple of years old. It actually goes back 5 or 6 years now. Lisa and I were talking about that. But it's gotten more robust under your guidance. And what's, you know, just give us not specific numbers, but kind of percentage of growth.
Sure. And that's a great question. And I think in a lot of ways, hopefully my answer will help manage expectations. Because, you know, if you build a blog, if you build it, they won't necessarily come. And that's why you need the, you know, aggressive outreach and promotional efforts, especially through LinkedIn. But it takes time, and you need the combination of the right content. So oftentimes you can start out with maybe 10, 15, 20 visits a day, which is not huge. But within a year or two, that can be doubled, tripled, quadrupled into the hundreds. And that's what we shoot for. At all times. And I think that's probably why in many ways I'm addicted to Google Analytics, because I see, number one, are we hitting our numbers goals, which we have for FedConnex and for other clients as well. I see where the traffic is coming from. And then also on Google Analytics, you can see who's coming to the blog. You can't really see names or email addresses, but there's a little tab there under technology and audience, and network is the tab. And you can see that X amount of people came from the DoD network, X amount of people from Booz Allen came, SAIC. So I certainly include that in all of my reporting efforts, which, you know, again, back in the traditional PR era, you put a press release out over PR Newswire, you're not getting analytics that are that robust. And you're not putting press releases out every day, because if you did, you'd break the bank at $300, $400, $500, $600 a pop to put a press release out over the wire.
Well, that and, you know, I think the more press releases you put out, the less likely it is that any reporter or editor is going to take them seriously because they see them too often.
Oh, it's the boy who cried wolf syndrome. We used to have that happen during the dot-com era all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just ridiculous. But, I mean, you said something there that I use in my LinkedIn training sessions. You said if you build it, if you start writing a blog, they don't necessarily come. Yeah, I mean, it's like being a subject matter expert and living in your parents' basement with a case of Dr. Pepper and a box of Cheez-Its.
Right.
You can know everything there is to know about a subject, but until you start sharing it, it doesn't do anything for you or for anybody else.
Right.
I mean, you can sit there and bitch at TV saying, oh, why is that guy on? I'm sitting here with all this knowledge. Well, nobody knows you're there, Jack.
No, they don't know, and the competition's getting fiercer for eyeballs, too, because a lot of people are catching on to this content marketing thing and are getting on there. You know, when I first started promoting content on LinkedIn, like, maybe 5 years ago when we first started, it was kind of new promoting stuff in LinkedIn groups. Now, like,
a lot of people didn't know about LinkedIn 5 years ago.
What's that?
A lot of people didn't know about LinkedIn 5 years ago.
No, they really didn't. And it's and they've done some pretty awesome stuff, as you know, in terms of updating it, you know, in terms of the feeds and stuff, making it a little bit more like Facebook, but not as kind of cheesy and consumery. And, you know, another thing I love about LinkedIn is that you know, on Facebook, you can't really friend people anymore. Like, if you meet somebody at a business meeting and you hit it off, you know, you don't really friend them on Facebook. No need to really see their pictures, vacation pictures. But if I meet somebody at a networking event and I come home with a stack of cards, the first thing I do before I even go to bed is I hit all of them up with a LinkedIn request, like, immediately. And it's okay to do that because I've established some sort of meeting with them, even if it was just a five-minute conversation, you know, waiting in line for a glass of wine at a networking reception.
Exactly. I do the same thing. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My name is Mark AmTower. My guest today is Matt Langan. Matt is the founder and CEO of LNR Communications. You can find him at LANDRCOMM, landrcom.com.
That's the URL. Thanks, Mark.
There you go. Well, it'll be on the website too at Federal News Radio. We were talking about your habit of taking business cards and immediately connecting with people if they are germane to your network. I do the same thing, and it's important because if these people are truly part of the GovCon ecostructure, for me, I need them in my network. I want them to know about my books. I want them to know about my seminars. I want them to know about the Government Market Master Program. You know, I want them to know about a lot of stuff that I do. And the best way for me to do that is to build this network. And my goals on LinkedIn are simple, and they're to be among the most visible and the most connected GovCon people on LinkedIn.
Yep.
Set a goal and build your profile accordingly and set your activity accordingly.
Absolutely. And people that you've met with even very briefly, if you send them a LinkedIn request, they're not going to be like, hey, why is this person doing this as opposed to a Facebook thing, which has become more the personal side of things. And I think it's a huge, huge opportunity. And, you know, another thing that I've learned recently over the years is through social networks like LinkedIn, you know, be yourself. You know, you don't have to necessarily be this, this corporate guy. And perhaps because we're in a creative field of content marketing, but we tend to, try to break the mold a little bit in terms of creativity. You know, when we're at networking events, we certainly don't wear the traditional gray suits that people wear and stuff like that. And I found that through social networks, you can kind of let shine who you really are. And it's kind of like the old, you know, saying, be yourself no matter what they say. You can do that on social networks, and people actually respond better, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, and you know, I don't have much of a choice. No matter, I am what I am, regardless of the venue. But LinkedIn really lets me play with that in kind of a broader arena. And the groups especially, I think it's absolutely cool. I want to get back into LinkedIn, but I want to ask you one other question about content before we do it. And that is, what is, from your perspective, what is the value of sharing other people's content?
Yeah, well, it's actually a huge, huge thing. And I appreciate you asking this question because, you know, with the FedConnects blog, and I work with a number of other clients, and I also support, you know, my friends over at Strategic Communications Group, my good friend Mark Hausman, who I'm sure you know, you know, we work on the Federal Blueprint site for Blue Coat Systems, their client. And I do a lot of the podcasts for that client. And we have a blog talk radio channel, real simple and easy to do. And we recently did a podcast with Linda Curitan, the, I guess, outgoing CIO of NASA, now. And it was a podcast about her passions and what got her into doing what she was doing. And I think I must have caught her on a good day because she gave the most, like, passionate, almost emotional podcast interview that I've ever had, where she talked about, you know, much like be yourself 100% of the time, things that she learned, things that she regretted in her particular role there, like being bothered by internal politics and the like. Mm-hmm. So it was quite a coup for us, for Blue Coat, that we took it and promoted it and shared it, you know, on FedConnects. You know, I went right on to FedConnects and did a very similar post, embedded the exact same podcast player into the FedConnects, and did it on a number of other blogs. And of course, link back to the Federal Blueprint site, the original, you know, content site that we did the podcast for. And it spread everywhere as a result of that. And clients really like that because there's no thought of, well, why are you putting my stuff on another client's site? What's up with that? It's more like, that's awesome. We get it. You're spreading the love, and the rising tide lifts all boats.
Right, and you had something original there, a piece of Linda's world view that hadn't been shared elsewhere. So given her visibility and the fact that you actually had something new about her, that's pretty darn cool all by itself.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, I have to say. I was pretty excited when I hung up the phone after that podcast.
Yeah.
It's rare you get access to people like that and then have them be so candid and honest, and maybe it's because she is moving on to other things. She just let her guard down and was very, you know, forthright, which was cool.
Maybe for once she didn't have the NASA flak at her elbow.
So. Yeah, I don't think there was. I did not get any sense that there was a flak on the podcast kind of controlling the string.
Yeah, I mean, I've had senior feds on the show not often, but occasionally. And every time I have to go through a lot of hoops. They want to know every topic going to be discussed. No, you know, blind sides, none of that crap. So,
for sure, yeah.
So I don't like that kind of radio. I mean, it's not what I do. I want people to know what we're going to talk about so they're prepared and it's a good conversation. Like this one. I also share other people's content, and usually because, and the venue is normally LinkedIn, sometimes Twitter, on rare occasion, more often than Google, I'll go to, or more often than Facebook, I'll go to Google Plus, and then last resort, Facebook, if I remember. But primary is LinkedIn. But I do it because I find something of interest. I know the groups that could and should be interested in it. And if it's got the share link on the article site or the blog site, you know, it just makes it that much easier for me. And boom, there it is. So, but again, back to the LinkedIn side of this thing. How long have you been on?
Oh, man, let's see. LinkedIn, I've probably been on there since 2006, 2007-ish, you know, pretty early on. But it was one of those things where I didn't use it that much. You know, I think I joined Facebook around that time. But, you know, I set up a profile, no picture. I don't even think you could do pictures back then for profiles. And then, you know, occasionally would catch on and connect with people. But it was more like, oh, once a week, let me check my LinkedIn profile.
Yeah,
you get
the email
and
somebody.
Now I have a tab that's open 24/7 that is either connecting with people or promoting content, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm a LinkedIn pioneer. I've been on since February 11, 2004, back when there was like, you know, at that time I was in the first 250,000 members. But,
goodness, they're probably in beta back then when you were...
You know, it might as well have been, but I, like you, but I sat there for 3 years waiting for something to happen. And the, you know, key phrase there is waiting. So it doesn't happen. You know, and this is a mistake that a lot of people make. A profile is not necessarily a presence on LinkedIn.
Right.
A profile, you mentioned the website is brochureware. Okay.
Right.
Your profile can be the same thing. If you aren't working that bad boy, it's stale, it's stagnant, it is not working for you.
Right.
So give me a few of your ideas on what you tell your clients to do with LinkedIn.
Sure. Well, you know, the number one is definitely the content. So we even go so far as to provide the headline, that little body, you know, box there, sentence or two, and the link, and forward it to their sales team, their BD people, and make it as easy as possible. Literally copy and paste this into your various LinkedIn groups, which has been tremendously helpful. You know, much like, you know, in terms of the LinkedIn training like you do, which is awesome, don't do that too much. But I have been recently, and this started last year, doing a Good Karma campaign on LinkedIn. It's great for personal reasons. So if I have a client or a former colleague that I really enjoyed working with, that I think are really smart, like, you know, the real deal, I'll go on there and just write a glowing endorsement for them. And
the recommendation, not the endorsement, yeah.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, a day or two later, boom, here's another one back at me. And then you look at your profile, you scroll down, and you have all these clients or former clients saying how awesome you are. So it's a great way because, like you said, it could be a static profile, but if you're always putting stuff up there, chances are people are going to click on your profile, and now they tell you who does. It's kind of like the stalker feature.
Mm-hmm.
So each day I see, like, you know, a little tab that comes up and says the following five people checked out your profile. And, you know, when they check it, it's not just, you know, Matt from L&R Communications. There's some more dynamic stuff happening there and ringing endorsements, which is always huge.
Yeah. And you know, it's critical. You mentioned Google Analytics earlier. And every time you tweak your LinkedIn profile, it is recrawled.
Right.
So if you're adding good information or editing current information or updating information, you know, you don't need I recommend if you have three jobs with the same company and it's a progression, I would suggest putting those as three different positions on your LinkedIn profile because you can share a little bit about what you did at each, but it shows that progression. It shows growing responsibility and a broader role.
Right.
So yeah. lot of little tweaks there. So
yeah.
For you as a driving tool for L&R Communications, how important is LinkedIn?
Oh, that I love this question. And I've talked to my partners about this too, and I joke often and I say if it wasn't for LinkedIn, we would not be in business in many ways because it is the premier promotional channel for us because, you know, we're not writing about Perez Hilton stuff, you know, about Kim Kardashian. We're writing about government technologies and government issues, and data center consolidation, you know, stuff that only appeals to our government IT contractor marketplace in the D.C. area and beyond. And thankfully, you have a captured audience here on LinkedIn. You know, as I mentioned before, you know, for our geospatial intelligence clients, we probably belong to like 15, 20 various, you know, defense and intelligence, geospatial intelligence, GIS LinkedIn groups. So promoting content there all the time. And when I do proposals to clients, I say to them, here's the 15 groups where we will promote our content. And there are, you know, 1,500 members in one group, 4,000 in another. And I add up the number, and I say, potentially every day, our content could be seen by 75,000 people. But of course, and I say the caveat, not everybody's checking LinkedIn every day, or they're going to click through on stuff that we promote.
Right.
But it's good to know that there's an audience there that has that potential to see your content, and
right.
they're captured, you know,
okay.
and they're relevant. Like, they want our stuff. We're not... Again, I'm not putting a Kim Kardashian post up,
right.
You know, in a government group. So.
Hold that thought. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest today is Matt Lank, and Matt is the founder and CEO of L&R Communications, LANDRCOMM.com, LANDRCOMM.com. Matt, let's pick it up kind of where we left off. The traffic on LinkedIn is extraordinary. Alexa ranks it consistently in the top 12 of all websites for pure traffic. Last year, there was 160, in 2012, there were an average of 160 million unique visitors every month. But you and I know that not everybody on LinkedIn participates. What's your feel for a raw percentage of people who are actually there on a regular basis doing something?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and this is more coming from a gut instinct of, you know, being there all the time. But I would say probably maybe 30% are high. Well, actually, let me take that back. There's probably 25%, maybe a little less, that are highly active, that are the Mark Amtowers and Matt Langens who are addicted to it like a drug and putting content up there all the time. And then I think there's a bigger audience of people who have, you know, a profile that check it maybe a couple times a week, see what comes up in their feed. And then I'd say maybe another third of the people that set up a profile, don't put a picture, nothing going on. They're the kind of people that after a networking event, you send them a LinkedIn request and you don't hear back for like a month. And you're like, oh, wow, they responded now because they don't use it. But I think it's shifting. I think there's more and more people moving towards using it in a way that we do. You know, we were the early adopters, you and I, in many ways, especially you from starting it back in 2004. And I think
yeah, but
people
I didn't
are starting
use it
to catch
until 2007.
What's that?
I didn't start using it until 07. So
see,
we're,
I
we're
think
on
that,
a par.
That was the same for a lot of us back yeah. in the day. So.
But yeah, I mean, there was a lot less to do. But you know, the group functionality, particularly, I love. But talk a little bit about the ability to leverage LinkedIn for lead generation.
Yeah, that's a great question there, and that's really what it comes down to in many ways. Whether it's for you know Mark Amtower, your business or my business, you know we back to what we said before, is connecting with everybody that could be a potential prospect, and then making sure they see your content online. If they're active users, they will. So, a lot of times, it's almost through osmosis, through the years of promoting so much geospatial intelligence content on LinkedIn through all these groups, that people know me, kind of quote-unquote, as somewhat of a kind of a content marketing expert in this arena, because they see me there all the time putting stuff up there. And hopefully it's not a point where I spam them too much, but I make sure it's all compelling content from, you know, three or four various geospatial clients. So when I reach out to folks to see if they want a meeting, most of them already know me or have seen me so much on LinkedIn that they're like, oh, you're the dude from LinkedIn. You're putting stuff up there all the time. I like your stuff. Such an easier way to open the door to an intro call or a meeting, as opposed to me sitting here with a list of geospatial companies cold calling them randomly out of the blue.
Exactly. Yeah, that visibility factor. And again, you intimated it, but you didn't really say it. If you post the right stuff, not only do you have the visibility, you have the credibility. Now, a small number of people are going to say, oh, you post all the time. And, you know, from my perspective, these people are whiny because they never post anything.
Right.
So
Exactly. And, you know, we're not posting stuff that say, hey, man, click here and get a discount on an auto tune-up. No, it's like real information, real content.
It adds value. And then, you know, that's, you know, my goal at the end of every presentation I make on LinkedIn is to convince people to have a robust profile and to add value regardless of the conversation they get involved in. If you're not adding value, if you're just saying me too, don't say anything.
Right.
So give me a couple of wrap-up points here. What the value of content and the value of LinkedIn?
Sure. Yeah, be happy to wrap it up. Well, you know, I think content marketing is, I think somebody once said content marketing is the new black, meaning it's kind of hot now. It's a good trend. But I don't really see it going away. In fact, if anything, it's going to get more robust as technologies evolve, whether it's through podcasting. You know, we have Blog Talk Radio. There's going to be next generation tools there where you can do video blogs quickly and easily through an app with zero video production needs. You don't have to spend a lot of money. So I see technology heading in that direction and more companies realizing that, you know, the traditional old school PR model of smiling and dialing and, God, I hope to God the editor of FCW picks up this story, because what am I going to tell my client on my weekly status meeting because I have nothing else to report? Those days are thankfully going away, and I think they will be more and more, and which means that content marketing will be the foundation. And Mark, like you brought up earlier, we will probably see more companies moving away from having a brochureware website and making the blog the core of it. As well, and also, too, it's going to be more challenging work-wise to keep up with the content marketing machine, because to do it right, you need to create original content almost on a daily basis every day, which doesn't happen automatically. You know, you need to, you know, have some good writing skills. You have to be able to, you know, think creatively, jump on key trends, and just be creative in terms of your outreach. So it takes a little more grease in the wheel, you know, to do this type of work. But, you know, at the end of the day, thanks to, you know, analytics, Google Analytics, different, you know, lead generation approaches, it's a smart marketing thing to do. And, you know, you're not throwing something up against the wall and saying, gosh, I hope this works. Like, gosh, I hope somebody picks up this press release. Here, you actually see that it works, and you know who comes to your site. And if you do content about your sales prospects, even better, helps the sales team open the door to a meeting. So that's kind of the content thing. And then LinkedIn, and I know you and I are both huge fans of LinkedIn, and I think it's going to keep getting bigger and bigger and just better and better. I'm sure they'll be adding, you know, additional, you know, bells and whistles, perhaps like a Skype-like capability on it, or like a Google Chats and stuff like that, where you can mark and you, me, and one of our prospects, we could have a quick chat on LinkedIn, and you can introduce me to somebody quickly. I'm sure those types of things will be coming down the road, and it's going to be the kind of connecting resource for all business. And you know, as we've discussed before, it's really the foundation for business marketing, especially if you have content to share.
Exactly, and you'll be happy to know that at their our quarterly stock conference, whatever you call those things, the CEO of LinkedIn mentioned strongly that they are focusing on content sharing as the next big move. So I'll forward you whatever I had on that, so we can chat about it next time that we have an offline conversation. Matt, thanks so much for joining me today. Matt Langan's been the guest. You can find Matt at LANDRCOMM.com, Matt Langan at LANDRCOMM.com, or look him up on LinkedIn, last name LANGAN. This is not my day job. I do consulting for any company targeting the government market, and I do a boatload of training on LinkedIn, public training as well as company training. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.